tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Yes! Welcome back to another edition of Star Wars Rebels AfterBuzz, Episode 11, Call to Action. Yes, this was a dark episode.
People died. Good. We're not messing around.
No. This episode took this series to a new level.
Well, the boss showed up and suddenly everything got serious.
Yes.
Oh, man.
The boss was not happy.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us here on AfterBuzz TV here again. We are so excited to talk about this episode. Thanks for coming back. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to us on YouTube and SoundCloud and any other place that you can find us. We love you
iTunes.
Guys. iTunes. What did I say? Did I
YouTube
say YouTube
and SoundCloud?
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
YouTube.
Okay, good.
YouTube as well.
iTunes, SoundCloud, all of them. Like us, subscribe, favorite, do whatever you want to do. Just keep coming back. We love having you. We need you. We gotta keep you around. And, you know, send us comments, whatever you want. We like to see what you guys have to think about the show. We like your input. Sometimes we ask you questions and we need answers. And you guys are on the internet while we're talking. We are not. So sometimes you can get the answers faster than we can. We get home and boom, you already got the answer for us. That's great. But anyways, you can also tweet at us. Hey, my lovely co-host, who need no introduction, but I'll let him do it anyways.
I'm Megan. You can tweet at me at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin.
I'm going to start timing your intros.
Sorry.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can tweet at me at Kiaxet. That's KIAXET. Also use hashtag ABTVRebels to join in the conversation.
Ooh, yeah.
Either while we're live streaming at 7 p.m. on Tuesdays,
mm-hmm,
or afterwards, because we do check that hashtag even when we're not on the air.
We do. And I'm Dylan Chance, guys. You can find me on Twitter at Dylan Chance. And let's do this.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Here we go.
Wow, this episode.
I was so excited. Guys, what'd you think? Overall reactions before we dive into it.
In my opinion, the introduction to the Inquisitor is still my favorite episode.
Mm.
But this is where I remember turning to Katie and going, this feels like Star Wars. Like when the drama gets real and the politics and the menace of the villain, it feels like a Star Wars movie.
That's good. The politics, because they really brought that in on this one. It's great. Go ahead, Katie. Sorry.
This just, you know, for kids.
Yeah. Yes.
When you start having to put that on a show, that's when you know it's either gotten really bad or really good. And this has gotten really good.
But Star Wars has always done that. Like, even as a kid, I remember watching the original trilogy, and, like, there were a couple things that always took me aback a little bit. And if I was a kid watching this, it would be one of those moments.
Well, yeah, burning corpses is enough to kind
of... Yeah, jeez.
That was, you know, 10-year-old Katie's mom covering her eyes in the theater when they re-released it on the big screen. Like, yeah, you don't want to see that. And I'm like, now I really want to see
it. Or an alien getting eaten by an even bigger alien.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, crunching bones and all that jazz.
Or a whole planet
life
full of millions of people being destroyed.
Who cried out and then were suddenly silenced.
Yikes. Yeah, but the burning corpses is the really extreme. That's the one.
Yeah, that was
just
probably the most graphic thing. Well, back in the original, before they edited it out to the when the guy gets his arm chopped off and there's blood everywhere. And
I remember seeing that, too. My mom tried to cover my eyes for that, and she wasn't fast enough.
You know what? As much as I don't like some of the fixes that they are – fixes. Sorry, guys.
Edits.
Enhancements.
Additions, maybe.
Additions. That one actually makes sense because lightsaber and cauterizing. Okay, so
That was the thing that always made sense to me, actually,
mm-hmm,
was just when there's no blood with a lightsaber. It always made sense to me. It's like, they're just really super hot.
So.
As are most Jedi. Hey!
Ba-dum-tish.
One of my favorite cameos of the show so far, Grand Moff Wilhuff Tarkin. Wilhuff, don't forget, that's his name.
just as bad as Sheev.
Oh, Will Huff and Sheev. My two favorite guys.
Oh, I would watch a sitcom called that, except I wouldn't.
It sounds like a sitcom. But I would not watch that TV program.
I would watch that.
It sounds like Will one Huff that was like,
yes.
It sounds like an animated cartoon that would have been on, it would have been on like Nickelodeon
it in
like
the like
early
Flapjack
2000s.
And Chowder.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it'd been good.
But anyway,
all right.
This guy, man, jeez.
Tarkin. They're bringing it back. The show finally took it to that next level. This episode was very Clone Wars-esque of the level of just awesomeness.
8,000% done with your shenanigans.
Yeah, like, it came in, it was hardcore. Like, he actually killed people, like, they actually did things. They got things accomplished, and stuff happened. Usually it's just circling around. We're playing with each other. Oh, you didn't catch us this time. Woo! It was like...
consequences.
No.
Actions have consequences.
You know,
holy
cow. You know how we've talked about how, you know, the team of villains that we have, mm-hmm. how even if they don't always agree, they're a cohesive
yes.
unit and everything like that. And it's these kind of two or lower subordinates that are like the scratch and grounder mm-hmm. of the Star Wars Rebels world. Yeah.
Thank you for referencing that.
I know. It's well, I mean, that's a good equivalent, but like basically they're the classic cartoon inept villains.
Right, right.
And they are gone now. Oh, there is gone. No more of that.
And we even get the line of like failures will no longer be tolerated, which is like, uh-oh.
And I do love that
you
we've
have
got
failed me for the last time.
That everyone else was watching that like, "Oh man."
Well, we're talking about the scene here, obviously, where...
we get decapitated.
Yes.
Extremely.
I was going to say, should we hold off on that?
No, let's just
no,
go
let's
straight
just
into
do
it.
That
that's awesome. It was the best part of the whole
mind.
Show.
And that's what we keep dancing around.
Yeah, we're dancing around anyway. So,
they
Commandant...
lost their heads.
Commandant Cumberlane Oresco and Taskmaster Miles Grint walk into the room. And we've seen these guys throughout the series so far. It's the little skinny dude and the like, babe, I kind of talk like this guy. And... we've seen them, and
again, it's the comedic relief
right.
villains.
Yeah, they
that
were at the Imperial
inept.
Academy.
Yeah.
And,
they're dead now.
So they come in, and Tarkin basically just is like, "Hey guys, you know what's so, going on? so you guys are hunting rebels, huh? Yeah. So
how's that going?
How's
for
that
you?
Going for you?" And the one guy goes, "Well, you know, it's not so bad." And Tarkin gives him the line and says, "Oh, he says, how are your efforts?" and the guy goes, "Oh, efforts are." And he stops him and he goes, "If your efforts had been successful, we would not be having this little chat." And I was like, uh-oh. And when he's saying that, the Inquisitor is slowly walking behind them. I was like, oh, my God.
And pulling out the lightsaber. It's like, oh, this is not going to end
And
well.
I was thinking, are they going to... wait, is this happening? And I was like smiling because I'm sick. And I was like, I want this to happen. And then...
it did.
It did. We had a double-bladed decapitation.
And this is supposed to be a
Can we hashtag
show?
That? Hashtag double-bladed decapitation.
Hashtag double dead.
It's
hashtag.
It's a long hashtag a long otherwise. One.
But I like it. I like
well,
it.
Otherwise, it's a Disney reference.
Yeah, it is. Well done.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But
you see the... what did he do? He put it like right behind him. He turned them both on and then he just moved
you,
it forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Messed up.
It took a little off the top there.
Took a lot off the top. It was very efficient.
I gotta say, I'm just really impressed with what we have right now because, and I will keep falling back on, I really do like this cohort team of villains because Tarkin comes in and it's not like when the Inquisitor came in, because when the Inquisitor came in, it was more like, okay, this is how we're running the show
right.
now, but he wasn't derogatory or anything like that. This guy comes in, and even the Inquisitor shuts up and
oh,
isn't
yeah.
happy about it.
Oh,
he
yeah.
takes the Inquisitor down a peg.
Let's
a
take this
we have
back to the
yeah.
beginning.
Fighting
when
Jedi.
Tarkin first shows up, and he's the, what's her name?
The minister.
The minister. She's like, oh, great to see you or whatever. And he's like, listen.
We're flattered that you came all the way out here.
Yeah.
It's a very great honor to... No.
No. There's no honor in me being here or something like that.
Your little backwater world.
Yeah, yeah. And he takes her down a peg. Then he takes Callus down a peg. And then they go, oh, but they have a Jedi. And he goes... the best Inquisitor standing
best
right
line
there
ever
yeah.
in the episode
and he goes it's a shame we don't have someone who specializes in dealing with them. And the Inquisitor just kind of like rolls his eyes. And it's like, man, that guy could kill you, Tarkin, in one swing of that lightsaber. And you just told him, what's up? That's how awesome Tarkin is.
There's a combo three, my gosh. Finish him.
Sith-trained Inquisitor standing 2 feet away from you, and you mock him.
You mock him, and he just has to sit there and take it. Well, that's what's even more impressive.
Like Darth Vader, the Inquisitor is the dragon. He's not in charge. He's just the really scary guy behind the throne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, see, I feel like Tarkin and Vader, though, had kind of a mutual respect thing. Where one wasn't in charge of either, but
they're just talking about the roles.
Yeah, true. But I feel like, well, I think Tarkin is actually above the Inquisitor, whereas Darth Vader was kind of like on his level.
They work in different departments, but they have the same boss.
Right. Right.
They're both talking about this in corporate terms.
Yeah, they're both VPs.
He's in HR, and I'm in enforcement.
And because a lot of people thought in the movie where he's force choking the one guy and Tarkin tells him to stop was a command, but I think it was more of a
stop. Come on,
yeah.
Dude.
We're going
like
to have to go talk to HR
like
now.
Like punching someone and you ran up to him and you said, hey man, get off of him.
But at the same time, because he's Tarkin, the way he says it is very authoritative.
It's
so it's just innate.
And you know when we first see that is there's an episode in the Clone Wars where Tarkin and Anakin go on a mission together and it's pre-Vader Anakin. And they do a whole mission together. And the whole time, Anakin is technically in charge, but Tarkin is like a commander or something like kind of right underneath him. And he's kind of calling, he's trying to call the shots over to Anakin and Anakin's not having it and keeps kind of shutting him down. But Anakin kind of sees where Tarkin was right a couple of times. But then also Tarkin like very much respects how Anakin doesn't like give him any kind of leeway. Like he doesn't like bow down or show any fear. He's just like, no, we're doing it my way. I'm the Jedi, you know, and so, and that's, I feel like where their connection kind of started. So they have this respect for each other.
I like that.
I mean,
they're
pretty cool.
They're both awful.
Yeah.
It's too bad everyone's evil now.
But it's really cool. And so now you see him show up and just tell the Inquisitor what's up. That's pretty funny.
And it's really interesting to just get reactions from all three of them because their reactions tell you so much about each of their characters. Mm-hmm. Like the minister, I almost feel bad for her because this is just a person who had a cushy government job and is now in way over her head because she never really stopped to think about how terrible the organization she works for is. It's just a job.
Yeah.
And she can easily turn a blind eye to all the terrible stuff they do. Not anymore.
Now she's decapitated, whether she likes it or not.
Oh, yeah, because she kind of gave the, like, gasp. Like,
yeah,
ooh.
She was.
Yeah,
and Callus was kind of just more of the,
Callus,
man.
You definitely see the idea of the consequences sinking in.
Yeah.
And again, to just get any emotional reaction at all out of a guy who's responsible for genocide?
That's true.
That's true.
Like, that says a lot.
Well, I think it's because he knows, like, wow, he just killed those guys. If I don't catch them, I'm next.
I'm next to the chopping block.
It's not sympathy, it's, ooh.
But even the Inquisitor, though, I mean, this is a guy who takes pleasure in, like, hunting down kids and killing kids, and he didn't look like he took any pleasure at killing those guys.
Yeah, he kind of looked kind of like...
It's the job. Mm.
Yeah.
It's just like, ugh, Mondays.
Somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
He was the only one that knew how to make my coffee right.
Oh,
man.
Poor Commandant Cumberly Naresco.
Gotta go train another intern. They never last.
So the whole idea of this episode, but besides Tarkin being there, is that... Ezra and Kanan, Kanan really kind of has this idea to hijack an Imperial communications tower and, like, broadcast a rebel relay across the local part of the galaxy there. And
let's hit on every single one of Ezra's trauma buttons in one episode. Let's do that.
Well, I do like that they're like, hey, you know that shady senator? That was actually working, so let's do that.
Yeah, let's do what he did. It was working. Everybody was listening to him, so we'll try the same thing, and we'll expose him. And
well, considering we had the radio broadcast where he straight up said, yeah, no, they misinterpreted my message, and I'm with the Empire now, and he outed himself before they
was that a radio message? Because I kind of
that was a broadcast.
Was it?
Yeah. Yes.
Because I kind of took it as
yeah. Well, no, and he was saying these are rebels and showed a picture of everybody and that they need to be stopped at any cost.
See, yeah. I didn't take it that way. I don't know why, but to me, it felt like it was some kind of like transmission that they intercepted or something.
No, it looks
that's
like
a weird broadcast then, because he constantly was going up against the Empire, and then all of a sudden just say, "Oh, sorry guys, I was you misheard me. I'm for the Empire."
It's a PR move.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, again, if you're even if we didn't know, obviously, that he was with the Empire from the get-go, he is a senator who was doing shady things under the table, you know, from the Empire's perspective.
That never happens. Senators
and
doing
so
shady things.
When you get caught, when the jig is up, yes. and in this case the jig was up, you make a PR statement
before the other person can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other thing is, there were probably rebel cells out there that were doing what they were doing on the strength of his word, that were more following him. So when he goes over to the Empire, they would too. They'd be like, oh, well, he's got a point and he's been right so far. I guess it can't be that bad. So he will.
I don't know. I'd feel if I was watching a senator and he came on TV and he was like, I'm a good guy. These guys are the bad guys. Here's a bounty for them. I'd be a little suspicious.
People mindlessly follow celebrities all the time. He will get some converts just for doing that.
And not to mention, it's also demoralizing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you genuinely believed in this guy and then he gives up the fight, like, if you don't know that he's corrupt but he gives up the fight, that's really demoralizing. And Tarkin makes the point in this episode that there are lots of little rebel cells all over the galaxy, and what they lack is unity.
Yeah.
And so that was one of their tactics to keep all of these guys separate.
Right.
And so, yeah, it makes sense.
And they said this rebel cell inspired hope, which is very dangerous. Hope is a dangerous thing.
Yeah, they've got a Jedi kicking around.
Yeah, and as soon as like people catch wind, what, the Jedi's are back? Oh my God, Jedi's. I like how, by the way, at the beginning, she says, oh, they have a Jedi, and he says, oh, yes, the Jedi's jumping from the pages of ancient history. I'm like, ancient? It's like 15 years ago, man. You were there, bro. You hung out with them. You, like, went on missions with them.
But if you make it sound like ancient history, some fable, some story, something you tell your kids as a bedtime story, then, hey, it makes them not real.
And he says, and I saw them all die. And I'm like,
you're a creep. And again, it kind of shows a little bit about the minister's character, too, because she's obviously young because she doesn't know exactly what happened to the Jedi.
That's
she just kind of refers to it as there were rumors.
How young is it you think that minister is? I feel like she has to be like.
My guess would be 20s, 30s.
Yeah, mid to late 20s.
She was probably like a young teenager.
She should have still known about the Jedi. But maybe she lived on a planet where.
But if she
maybe
was
she
like,
lived on Coruscant or something.
Backwater Lethal.
But I guess that's where the Jedi
she
were.
She was
so
like
I don't know.
12. You don't really think about government conspiracies and cover-ups and whatnot when you're 12. You don't pay attention to the news when you're 12.
Would know about a galactic war where a whole faction of people die.
You don't pay attention to the news when you're 12. Or you may not have the ability to understand it.
Maybe she came from a farm. Do you ever think about that?
Oh. Yeah,
she just
that's
worked
true.
At a farm all day long?
Had nothing, knew nothing about Jedi.
Not much
know.
Has changed for her then.
I don't know,
and that's
because
why we have the Inquisitor on the
when
team.
When Anakin was a small child on Tatooine, he knew about Jedi.
Well,
because Ben Kenobi was up the street.
Anakin, not Luke. Anakin.
Oh, right.
When he was a small, like, 8-year-old boy on Tatooine, one of the furthest
one of the many problems that the prequels have caused in terms of just continuity-wise, in terms of making sense out of stuff that's said in the original trilogy that is contradicted by the prequels because, again, the Jedi are around. You know, it's not ancient history.
I know. So, anyways.
So, we could get off on a tangent about that.
Yeah, let's get back on this. She probably was, who knows what. She probably knew about him anyways, but Tarkin is just making him seem like.
And again, when the Empire takes over and when most of the Jedi are gone, it probably got a little 1984 there in that, like, there are no Jedi. You best forget about the Jedi.
If anyone speaks the word Jedi, they will be hunted down.
Okay. There is no war in Ba Sing Se.
There you go.
My cabbages.
Cabbage guy. I always feel bad for that guy. How much money do you think he lost in cabbages?
We have the equivalent of that in this marketplace in Lothal.
Oh, yeah.
Poor guy's always getting his fruit cart upset every time someone does something.
What are those fruit
carts?
We called?
Saw him today. He was chasing around.
Do you remember?
I don't. Was that the one that Hera had them go on the little fetch quest for?
I have
my
written
space
down.
Cabbages.
I have them written down in here, but it would take me too long to
They're
find
space
it.
Cabbages.
All right. Anyways.
Close enough.
Let's get back to this trying to take over the communication tower business. So what goes down? They go there. They're talking about, oh, we got to do this tower thing. They go to the highway, and they're doing, like, a scouting mission. And they're, you know, checking it out, and they see all the stuff. And then a probe droid gets dropped off, an Imperial probe droid. And I don't like the look of that thing.
where did we leave the bikes? By the road.
By the road.
I don't see it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Subtle,
right next
you
to the
guys.
Road.
Way to be.
Yeah, they couldn't park those somewhere
How
else.
How have they lasted
I
this
guess there
long?
Wasn't really anywhere
because
else.
They had incompetent guys.
Yeah,
and a really good Tarkin's getaway here. Pilot. Yeah, that's true.
But
step up your game.
I liked this callback to a couple episodes ago with Ezra. You know, communing with the animal.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's cool.
Yes,
because Kanan kind of taught him how to do that, and Kanan can do it too, which is pretty cool. But yeah, he just, since I guess he's really strong at commanding loth cats, is what those are called. Yeah, he's, oh, first of all, he was like, wait a minute, is there a loth cat in the bushes? There's one. I got it. Okay, loth cat, go. And he just, loth cat just tears his droid up.
Well, I mean, the last time he communed with an animal, it was that crazy giant. I don't remember the name
but
of the
that was
Cthulhu.
Also,
yeah,
essentially asteroid Cthulhu. But he was also tapping the dark side at that point.
Yeah,
that
was a little too much.
That'll screw you up.
But I'm saying this is probably a little easier by comparison.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah. Lost, yeah.
Little kitty.
Which, how small it was, is pretty vicious, by the way. It's like a bobcat.
Or a little raccoon. Like, those things are mean, actually.
I know. I had a raccoon steal my sandwiches one time. That's a long story. I can't get into it.
I don't think you need to. I think the fact that you got your sandwich stolen by a raccoon speaks for itself.
It was messed up, man. We was camping, and this raccoon just walked up to our ice chest, opened it, looked at us like, you gonna stop me? And we were so speechless, we couldn't do anything. He just opens it, he looks at us, he reaches in with one hand, pulls a bag of sandwiches out, shuts the ice chest, and walks off. And I was like, what just happened? All right, I'm sorry.
You got off topic robbed by a raccoon.
Let's get back to Star Wars.
I don't care if we're off topic. This is amazing.
It was,
I'm
going to
send you
crazy.
A little plushy raccoon with a sandwich.
I don't think this panel has ever brought me to tears before, but I am crying.
It was a crazy story.
Okay, that side trip was worth it.
Back to the episode.
Back to the loth cat destroying
which
a
probe
droid.
Which may or may not be stealing sandwiches.
Yeah, he probably was doing
don't
that
worry,
on the
guys.
Outside.
We'll mock him after the show.
And through the show and all this week and next
show. So
they
think the probe droid's destroyed.
Yeah.
And they try to run away. And no one bothered to check to make sure it was fully destroyed, obviously. They hop on their bikes, and the camera still works, takes pictures of them flying away.
Which, it was a good idea, bad execution.
Right. And, you know, and Sabine was like, oh, I could have done that. And it's like, no, Sabine, obviously, if you kill it with blaster fire, it's going to trigger some alarm. So Ezra was kind of right, but they, I don't know, I feel like they should have done something to avoid that camera.
I gotta say, they had good Ezra-Sabine banter this week.
Yeah, yes. They did.
And they didn't make
at
it
the
like,
beginning
she's
when they,
flirting with me.
Right.
They just kind of kept it on the level.
Right, that was good. I don't, because I'm tired of that. Like, oh, what? Oh, I gotta say something, you know, kind of funny.
Say something clever later.
Get out of here. At the beginning, whenever they were doing the speeders through the city and they tricked the stormtrooper, she said, like,
You're getting the hang of it.
There's, what'd she say? There's hope for you. Yeah, so it's pretty good. So they go back. Now Tarkin knows because they got the pictures of them on the speeder bike. They know that they're going after the communications tower, and he's like, no, we're going to set a trap. Don't make it obvious, but we're going to set a trap. Let them think that they got it. So the Rebels crew is like, oh, yeah, we got it. Ha-ha, make a plan. Yeah, we're going to do this. Great. Woo! but then Ezra starts kind of getting cold feet there for a second because now they take Kanan takes him outside, little mentor talk. And Ezra, this is like you said earlier, Katie, there.
It mashes all of his trauma buttons.
They're hitting Ezra's points. They're about to do a big rebel relay, like blasting out just like his parents did. And then when they did that, they got taken away or killed or who knows what. And they're doing the same thing, basically. They're trying to do the same thing, but now Ezra has a little family, so that would be sad. He doesn't want to lose his second family.
This was awful foreshadowing. Just, yeah. I don't want to lose you, too, he says to Kanan, and it's like, oh, this is not going to go well.
At least,
oh, this will go
at
so
least
poorly.
Kanan was honest with him, was, we've all lost things, and we're not, by the time this is done, we're going to have
yeah.
more losses.
And he says there's
going
to have more losses, which was, I feel like, a very heavy line, because
yeah.
it's like... Uh-oh.
We just
We've
saw two
already
guys
decapitated two people. We have crossed the point of Uh-oh. No return on this show.
You know what, though? They decapitated two minor characters.
Doesn't matter. Still named, still dead.
Yeah. The second Super a main dead. Character dies, that's going to be a big deal.
I think that's like final season stuff.
No, I think earlier than that is possible.
Maybe even really? Next season. Maybe season two, but... You know what they're going to do.
I watch
we'll
Walking Dead every week.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, surprises but that's the Walking me. Dead. That's
You're the... on the Attack on Titan panel with me.
Yeah, but that's Attack on Titan.
That's the catch of that show in Walking Dead, though. I feel like you watch it every episode to see who's
who
going
dies.
Down. Yeah. So anyways, they make their plan. Kanan gives his little speech, and you have a moment there. Like, oh, yeah, but we got to keep pushing. Because, you know, Kanan's lost people, too. He lost his master and stuff, whatever.
He
so.
Lost his everybody.
Yeah, he lost every Jedi that he knew. So they keep going. They assault the tower. Now they're moving in. They get in there. They plug it in. Oh my God, the Empire already knows we're here. So obviously
well,
it was
trapped. Wait, guys. It's a trap.
Yeah.
Do we have that sound clip? I feel like we should have prepped that.
No. That was a better impression.
It's close.
It's a trap.
There you go. That's good, too. Yeah, anyway, so it's an elaborate ruse. have you seen that one? It's Admiral Akbar, but he has a monocle and a top hat. Says it's an elaborate ruse.
That's but adorable.
I love that.
You seen the one where he's got his little finger stuck in a Chinese
finger trap? You seen the one where he has a like a snack shop and it says it's a wrap?
We could
or the
go
Starbucks
on.
Sign, it's a frap.
Oh,
we could go on forever about this meme.
Tweet us, hashtag ABTV Rebels. It's some kind of a pun.
It's a blank.
That'll be fun.
Puns.
Puns are the best.
No, yay. They're not.
So, So Empires storm in. They see them, or Imperials. I said Empires.
Close enough.
Close enough. Imperials are surrounding them. We got stormtroopers. They're flying in. There's tanks. It's chaos out there. Kanan sends them all back inside, and he says, "I'm staying out." Ezra's like, "Oh God, here we go.
I'll catch the next lift."
Yeah, yeah. I'll catch
He's
the
like,
next
no,
lift.
No, you won't. No, you won't.
Here we go. So now we know, and you see he says, "Ezra, I'm right behind you." So that was kind of like his little,
"No,
go, Ezra, go." And obviously, Kallus shows up, and he goes, "Here we are again." He's like, "Yeah, just like the last time, you're gonna lose." And then the Inquisitor hops down. You're like, "Oh well." I like
little outnumbered.
Kanan's
little outnumbered.
Like instant reaction as soon as he saw the Inquisitor was whoop, stab the door. You're not going inside.
So those were the door controls.
Yeah, then. Yeah. He just totally stabbed the door controls with his lightsaber, like instantly. And it's like, wow. He didn't even have to think about sacrificing himself. It was just like, boop, I got it. What are you going to do now?
Granted, they could probably still slice a giant
hole
in the door, but
it takes a long
time.
Yeah, it takes a long time to do that. So, and now they're working their way up there and they're watching up there and blowing up ships and Hera comes flying in. I like Kanan battles the Inquisitor, and this time he gets a kick in. Yeah.
That was great.
I love that the Inquisitor was like, "You've been practicing."
Yeah.
You noticed.
Yeah. That's what he says. He goes, "You've been practicing." And he goes, "Nice of you to notice." And I was like, "Yeah, go. You tell him, Kanan, with
Banter.
That one kick.
You're totally not hosed or anything. You are so hosed."
Yeah. You got a kick in.
Good for him.
Right. Great kid. Don't get cocky. So... anyways, they fight a little bit more, and the Inquisitor just force pushes them up against the wall, and now he's kind of stuck.
Yep, so much for that.
And this is where we get the big sacrifice, the just go, Hera. She's like, "I can't." "Nope, you don't have a choice." Now you're getting shot at. You got nothing. Go. Luckily, he didn't kill him right there, and he wanted Tarkin to meet him, so Kanan lucked out. That would have been...
He really did.
Yeah, he really did. I mean, the Inquisitor could just
lob his
head off. So
much for our theories that it's Kanan in Episode 7. I mean, hey.
Yeah, so...
So much for that one.
That he's caught now. That's not good. So, obviously, they're going to have to go on some kind of mission to save him.
Yeah, last time they staged a rescue mission for a Jedi, that didn't go well.
Yeah. A dead Jedi.
Yeah, on account of the Jedi was already super dead.
I hope this doesn't happen again. Kanan's super dead.
Yeah, no, that'd be awful.
Yeah. That would not be good. So, I actually like this part. Tarkin comes back one little final scene here. And he's like talking to Kanan. Kanan's like, you're not going to get anything out of me. Sir, we got a problem. The rebels took over the tower. They're broadcasting this message. They get their message out just in time.
And it's Ezra talking.
He's
like, aww.
Yeah, he's like, I may be young, but. It wasn't always perfect,
yeah. But it used to be better, and the Empire's made it worse, and it's not going to change until we start standing up for ourselves.
I didn't even think about it being Ezra who was going to talk.
He's the native.
I guess so, yeah. It's his people or whatever, and it was his parents that used to do it before. So
that, for me, was the big connection, was that it was he, and he's always been kind of a little bit on the fringe about being a rebel in the first place.
Right.
Yeah. Because of his history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously, with what happened to his parents. But now this is like, he's all in, and he's with them till the end.
Right, exactly. So he broadcasts it. We get the Ezra. Now he's full-on rebel, and now they know, and everybody knows. But Tarkin, this is awesome. Instead of just going like, oh, hey, go in there and try to shut it down, try to figure it out, whatever. Nah, he's just like, blow it up.
Nuke it from orbit.
Just blow the whole thing up.
And the line is, you have no idea what it takes to win a war.
But I do.
So good.
Yeah. He looked at Kane around the face. He goes, you don't know what it takes to win a war. But I do. And that line was like, oh,
man.
Because it's true. He does know what to do.
He does. He's a Clone Wars survivor.
Yeah, he's been in there since the Clone Wars. He's the one that helped orchestrate the whole takeover. So he knows. He won the Jedi War or the Clone Wars or whatever you want to call it. He helped win them all.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I don't know how involved he was, obviously, with that order to kill all the Jedi, but it wouldn't be surprising if he pitched that in the little brainstorming session.
Well, I don't know if he was around then, because
he just murdered them all.
No, because, you know, that was the order that was implanted in the little chip in their head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he wasn't around when that stuff took place. It was already the Emperor's grand scheme. The Emperor had, I mean, he's a crazy mastermind.
Xanatos Gambit.
He's amazing. But Tarkin helped with the battles that ensued after and, you know, orchestrating the attacks probably on the Jedi Temple and things like that. So I'm sure he had a hand in those attacks. Then we get back on the ship. They're all sad, obviously. What are we going to do? Oh, who knows? I thought this was a good little exchange between Ezra and Hera when Ezra says, this isn't over. And Hera goes, no, it isn't.
Mom is not happy.
She is like, woo! And then I thought it was awesome. It just fades into silence.
Yeah.
That was very, like, that was a dramatic silence. Dramatic silences, when done right, are so strong, and I thought that one was a good one. Because it just left you like, man.
And how weird is it to see, you know, the Star Wars Rebels logo pop up for the end credits and not to have that bum, bum,
yeah, exactly. Because it ends usually kind of happy and like, woohoo, let's move on. Yay. This one was just like, no.
Congratulations. Everything got real this episode. We are just going to hammer that home. The sound department had one job, and they accomplished it admirably.
Everyone, it was masterpiece. Go home, everybody. It was great. I loved it.
It's the equivalent of a Star Wars mic drop.
Yeah.
Well, and Ezra also asking if it was worth it.
Oh, yeah, that too. I don't think anyone heard. And she's like, I think they did.
And, you know, to their credit, you do get to see some townspeople react, and you can see visibly the look on their face when Ezra says, it used to be better.
They're like, oh, yeah, it did.
Yeah.
It really was.
And you see the look on the stormtroopers' helmets when they,
the usual.
No, but you could tell by
dull surprise.
You could tell by their reaction that they were kind of like, wait, what? Wait a minute. And all the people were kind of looking around, so kind of like, it kind of put the fear in the stormtroopers, like, these people may attack us.
It was a tense moment because you obviously have people filled with discontent.
Yes.
Met with scared people with guns.
Yes.
Never a good combination.
Never good. Listening to a broadcast saying, those people are evil. So, that's tough. All right, guys, that's the show, but we have some awesome news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Also, huge, huge, huge spoilers for season 2, we think, of Star Wars Rebels with this news and gossip. So if you don't want to hear it, if you want to remain unspoiled.
Spoiler alert.
Uh-oh.
Thank you.
Yes.
Put it on mute and wait until you see the light show for predictions.
There you go. It's a semi-spoiler alert. It's just a...
It's a spoiler alert.
It's just a rumor that some people
possible
might appear.
Possible spoilers.
Stuff that we've already talked about.
I thought it was confirmed.
No, not really. It's
It's one of those things where someone threw it out there and they were like, no comment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's probably confirmed, but not technically confirmed. So, anyways. Ahsoka! Yes, yes, yes! Ahsoka may be joining us in the premiere of season 2. So we have to wait a little while. But from all that our speculation from the earlier this season, talking about Ahsoka being Fulcrum, that is the general idea. Ahsoka may be Fulcrum. And the reason that we have this rumor speculation is that the French voice actress who did the voice for Ahsoka in the Clone Wars updated her profile, like her IMDb or something, and said, you know, Star Wars Rebels, Ahsoka / Fulcrum. And you're like, what? Why would you do that?
Wow. So much for the NDA.
Yeah, so that's our speculation there. But, I mean, look, I mean, that's pretty good. Also, Darth Vader, James Earl Jones, also coming back for the premiere. And Palpatine. Oh, we haven't seen him yet. That'll be good.
Good old Sheev.
Sheev is going to... We're going to have Sheev and Will Huff. It's going to be great. So we got Sheev, Will Huff, Ahsoka. It's going to be good. But also, there's a rumor, guys, that somebody else is going to be coming in for season 2. Have you seen this one?
I don't think so.
I kept this one secret.
So you spring it on us.
Yeah, thanks for telling us.
Who is our favorite gunslinging smuggler?
Han Solo.
Well, here's the good part. They already have a guy who can do the young Harrison Ford voice really well because he voiced Han Solo in the Phineas and Ferb Star Wars crossover.
Good, because
he sounds exactly like him.
Part of the rumor was it won't be Harrison Ford's voice.
Oh, no. So. No, they have a guy who sounds exactly... The producers were in a panel at Comic-Con talking about how they were really tempted to have this guy call people that Harrison Ford knows and leave voicemails in that voice because he is so spot on.
That's awesome. So we might get to see Han Solo.
Yeah,
so that's,
they've got
to
do.
Which would make sense. We saw Lando. Han Solo is old enough. We could see Han Solo, probably Chewie, rolling around. So that would be cool. And here's something, guys, in the news. And I feel like an idiot. I mean, how long ago was it that I talked about A New Dawn? You know, the book that led into Rebels? Like,
a while ago.
Right when we first started, I was talking about that book, and I read it, and it was good, blah, blah, blah. Well, someone rereading
picked up
on something, and it was so subtle, and I just glanced right over it when I read it like it was no big deal. But it talks about a female stormtrooper.
Yeah, it's canon!
And so that's canon. So there are female stormtroopers out there. Somewhere rolling around.
Yeah, for all those people making complaints about the Star Wars, you know, Episode 7 teaser trailer how, you know, only certain people can be stormtroopers. F you.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Stormtroopers are not all clones. They've actually confirmed this in interviews. So,
well, no, Black, I mean, yeah, we confirmed it in Rebels.
Yeah, with the whole Academy.
The Academy.
Yeah.
They also talk about it in the Tarkin book that came out not too long ago.
And it makes sense because didn't that kid's sister
go through the Academy?
She was in the Academy.
Yeah,
so
but
it makes sense. Why would they?
She could have been training
the
the officers go through the Academy, like the minister. So she could have been one of those, but she'd also just be a stormtrooper.
But it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense, all things considered.
Anyone and everyone can be a stormtrooper, as long as you're humanoid, I guess.
Yeah,
if you're a weird
alien.
You just
gotta fit in the armor.
Yeah. And you can't fit in the armor.
Yeah, I guess there's no Twi'lek.
We may have a different job for you.
Right, no Twi'lek stormtroopers.
There's no customized armor.
Right.
Yeah.
That'd be cool, though, right? See, like, a Twi'lek stormtrooper with a cool, like, cool stormtrooper helmet on her Leku.
Yeah, but stationary?
No.
But
well,
again, it kind of, it's just another
leather
thing.
Armor.
It's just another thing to make me empathize with a lot of these stormtroopers because they are just regular people.
Right.
People.
So
they're
another.
The poor cannon fodder schmoes of the Star Wars universe.
Like they talk about in Clerks.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
anywho.
One other piece of news for you guys. If anyone is going to Star Wars Celebration, it has been confirmed.
My God.
Yeah, like, yeah, we'll be there. And come find us. So if anyone else is going to Star Wars Celebration, Carrie Fisher, Anthony Daniels, and Kenny Baker, and just in case you don't know the names, that's Princess Leia, C-3PO, and R2-D2, will all be there.
Yeah.
Along with the entire Rebels cast.
Yeah, all of them are going to be there.
So that'll be great. It's going to be fun.
A blast.
All right, guys, that's we're running out of time here. That's going to be it for us today. One more time, tell them where they can find
you. No predictions?
I got nothing. It's a cliffhanger. They're going to get Kanan back. There you go.
Do you think they'll get him back whole?
Awesome.
Yeah, if it is, if
that'd be
it
so
is
cool Kanan, if he loses an arm or something.
If it is Kanan in episode 7,
he has those cybernetic enhancements.
Please, Star Wars Rebels,
and
take
Empire
it to that place.
Is not I like
you. I like the way you guys think. All right, tell me where they can find you.
Go. Oh, I'm Megan. You can follow me on Twitter at the Menguin. That's Themenguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, including Agent Carter and Sailor Moon Crystal.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I am also on the Arrow After Show tomorrow night. And if you're coming to Gallifrey 1 in Los Angeles this weekend, I will be there. I'm interviewing cosplayers. Stop by, get yourself an ABTV ribbon.
And guys, thanks for joining us again. We love having you. You can find me on Twitter at Dylan Chance, because I am Dylan Chance.
And are you now?
Yeah, I am. The one and only. You can also find me here on Sundays for the Grimm panel, if you guys like Grimm. But, you know, other than that, thanks for coming back. And as always...
Do we have time real quick for shout-outs?
Yeah, go.
Just want to say thank you to Full Pure Quality on iTunes. They gave us 5 stars and said Ahsoka equals
thanks.
Fulcrum.
Yes.
And we got Great, Great, Great by Jordan So Philip. Great show with what I call great host.
Oh, thanks.
Pardon me. I'm sorry. Star Wars by Oppie M. Wright. I'm starting to... Oh, I feel like I'm stalking Megan and Katie, but I can't help it.
That's good.
I love so much of the same stuff they're doing for the AfterBuzz shows for. Can't wait for each episode.
Oh, thanks, guys. And like, we're going to try and keep up with that a little more often. So if you guys want, leave us comments and we'll try to shout you out. But other than that, may the Force be with you.
And also with you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.